We're continuing with the third day of this seminar. And in one sense, for me, it's the most difficult day. Because on this topic, I have to do some more thinking. And I don't know how much I can think. Let us see. The topic we want to talk about. Yeah. Okay. Adi. Stop that. So we want to talk about inattentiveness. Inattentive hearing, inattentive chanting, all that is the cause of all evil. Right. And no good of it will come. So, we all know inattentive chanting is the root cause of all offenses. And it's very difficult to really overcome it. Everyone has tried in his own way, and I don't think anyone can say that he can chant 16 attentive rounds, right? Maybe every once in a while there is an attentive one or a few attentive mantras or a wave of attentive mantras, and then again we drift away. And even with the best intentions, it's very difficult. Many techniques are being recommended. Books have been written about it. Different books are coming out. Some are, Satsarupa Maharaj came out with his Japa Reform Notebook. It said that when he was a sannyasi, one day a new bhakta came to him and said that he wasn't pronouncing the mantra. And that he actually wasn't chanting all the syllables. So he was a little shocked, but he took it humble. And then from that time on started his Japa Reform program. He started to clearly pronounce very, very, very strongly moving his lips while chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you could see in those days, if you saw Maharaj chanting, he was doing like that. He had many other techniques, right, which are described there. So there are obviously physical arrangements we can make to improve the quality of our chanting. For example, sleep sufficiently. For example, be in a peaceful place. For example, don't eat that pizza at 11 o'clock, you know. Things like that can obviously help to improve the quality of the chanting. Don't do anything else. Don't take all the notes, for what you're going to do during the day. Don't download your email and chant your rounds at the same time. Don't chant on the phone, and like that, there are so many things you can do. Don't have a conversation every other round. These are all the physical arrangements for improving our chanting, and you can increase the list. And I think we've heard many times different suggestions of how to improve, right? Also, while we are listening to Prabhupada's Japa tape, about 3.5 minutes in the tape, Prabhupada suddenly says, "Sit properly," right? And, you know, which is obviously an important element, right? I mean, I see people who sit something like that, and you know that it's just not going to happen. So a certain amount of physical arrangement is important for attentive chanting. And books are also being written, and now there is some book. I didn't read it. I just looked through it, but it deals with brain waves, right? Certain intensities of brain waves and how you can stimulate the better brain waves for concentration. Scientifically proven. So, like that, these are all physical arrangements. Nice. I myself, I like to, before I look for the experiment, like brain waves, I mean, is modern, I'd rather look for, first, for our tradition. What is the traditional method, right, that was employed by the acharyas? That's my personal taste, because it doesn't really matter. Rupa Goswami says, yena tena prakarena mana krishna nivesayet. Whatever it takes, we should fix our mind on Krishna. Also, he says, vairiki lokiki vapu yat kriya kriya te mune hari sevana kulaiva. Whatever is favorable for the service of the Lord can be accepted. So I'm not speaking out in favor or against, but as a matter of taste. So I like the, I just like the simplicity of the tradition, and I have some aversion against high tech. You know, if my chanting depends on a computer, I kind of feel like walking with crutches, right? Thinking with crutches, which under the circumstances may be a good idea. Anyhow, chanting. So in the tradition, one of the things we are using is beads, right? And I was feeling that the main reason for chanting on beads is not just counting our rounds, right? I think that the principal reason for chanting on beats is to help our concentration on the mantra. And I find myself that part of my attention while chanting has to go into the beat, right? That means that as I begin the mantra, I must also begin squeezing one beat. I have to synchronize the two. If I make a conscious effort to synchronize the two, I find that my effort in the chanting of the mantra improves. Right? I find it, it's like, otherwise the hand can move and the tongue can move and doesn't always work out that on every mantra your hand is on a new beat, you know. Sometimes it's two beats slipping through in one mantra, things like, sometimes you wonder, wow, that was a real fast round. I think maybe I should chant it again. Synchronizing. I find it, so I when I started to consciously endeavor to start a new beat on each mantra, and it's okay, next. I noticed that I was more, my mind was drifting less. I stayed closer to the mantra. It helps. I'm doing it. I'm trying that. That's one technique I use. We see that the acharyas were, besides just a physical technique of concentrating the mind, there is another aspect of getting into the mood, right? Being in a nice environment, devotional environment, you know, like, in the holy dham, sitting on the bank of the Yamuna, or once I was sitting in the Yamuna while my beats were floating, and it was really nice, you know, just chanting and let the beats float like that. It was fun. So the mood also is there. And we see that, for example, in the Radha Gopinath temple in Jaipur, you see that display window with the tulsi jacket and the tulsi hat. He has a hat like this one, but made of very, very fine tulsi beads, very small ones, and also a jacket. Madhu Pandit had that jacket and that hat, and he was wearing that while chanting japa. So it's pretty far out. Then we have Bhugava Goswami. I'm sure he had a different name, but eventually his name became Bhugava, which means like in the womb of the earth, because he was sitting in a deep basement under the deity of Govinda, right? Really deep. You can still go there in Vrindavan. You go down, like way down. And there he was chanting, and eventually his real name must have been forgotten. Everyone was just calling him Bhugava, right? The one who chants deep in the earth. So different, the acharyas, looked for appropriate places and, looked for ways to cultivate a devotional mood. So the mood is certainly important. There is no doubt that the first prerequisite for chanting the holy name is stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Trinadapi Sunichena. That verse is stated as practically the condition for getting taste, for developing dependence. Prabhupada says, as we are increasing our humility, our taste will also increase equivalently. So that's there. Then we have a description of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And maybe I should use the board for this. Yes. Okay. Is there a pen? Oh, there. This thing. This goes across the... Here. Maybe I can have a writer assistant, somebody who can write. I'm too weak to do it. I can feel that I can't handle it. Who can write on boards? Anybody good in writing on a board? Don't be shy.
You're good?
Yes, you're tall, it's high. Maybe it's easy for you. I was like, just... what you can do? Can you read my handwriting? If you can read, okay, point 1 to 5, and then you don't have to write this screen, but the Shraddha, whatever is in the red box, if you can write that holy name, Shraddha. Yeah, not even that, just one, the holy name, Shraddha, two, a holy name, read to the form of the Lord Nista, holy name, the form of Ruchi, like that. But no need for the brown sugar and the Vivaka sugar. There's not much space. Okay, we're going back. A lot better. So, the point is this, is that what he's going to write on the board is some progression of an experience within the holy name of that in the beginning stages one is experiencing, one is getting basically the holy name, the mantra. We see people coming to the Sunday feast and some can chant it straight away and others cannot, right? Others need a card, you know, they need to read it while they're chanting, otherwise they can't get it right. Like we were on the eve of the millennium, we were in Sydney, Australia, performing a kirtan at midnight. And we were just going on, and there was a huge rave party somewhere nearby, and they were celebrating the new year also. We were hoping the electricity would go out, but it didn't, unfortunately. And anyway, so then at about 2-3 o'clock, all these people from the rave came out, and we were the only thing that was still going. The rest was finished. We were the last party that was happening, the Hare Krishnas, you know. So they all joined our party, and at that time, we were just doing the Prabhupada tune, you know, just the basic Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, like that. And we were just chanting that, and the people also got into it, but they couldn't do the mantra, so they're just calling Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and so others were Ram, Ram, and some were doing Hare Hare, and it was all mixing, and it was just getting one big blur of sounds, etc. But there were about 1,000 people at one point doing it, right? So it was like getting very powerful. The police came, and then the police, it was going on for about an hour, and then the police came and said, "It has to stop." I was leading the kirtan, so police comes on the stage and tells me, "Stop," right? So I do, well, okay, you know, so I had to stop. So then, you know, the crowd, you know, they booed, of course, you know, boo, there's that, and then they said, "No, we're not going to stop." And they just did a kirtan on their own. They couldn't do it, though. So there's been Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna Rama, Rama Krishna. Everything was there. But 1,000 people on their own, jumping and dancing and yelling out Rama Krishna, Krishna Rama, Hare Hare. It was very nice, actually. Very nice. So there is a point, you know, where one comes into contact with the holy name, and eventually one gets the whole Mahamantra, right? And so when there is some faith developing, so then the Mahamantra can develop. So that's at the top, the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it can be purchased by Shraddha. This little list that we are putting on the board, I took it from a description that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives about the Namahatta, the marketplace of the holy name. And in there, he gives a progression. As soon as I get my notebook back, I'll give you the Sanskrit name of the book where I got it from. Basically, this chanting in the beginning is really, yes, just us and the mantra. There's not so much more. There's maybe the concept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's nice, but for the rest it's just somehow or other trying to chant attentive on that, which is as impossible as holding on to a slippery bar of soap, you know, that's on the floor of the shower. You try to pick it up and jumps out of your hands again, or something like that. Difficult to fix the mind on that chanting. But then we see that the acharyas, they are not just chanting in that way. We can see that in due course of time, just by faithfully chanting attentively, one becomes aware of the form of the Lord, right? So it is said that that starts happening at the state of nistha. Yeah, I thank you very much. At the stage of nistha, we begin to relate to the Lord's form. Now, we can go through this whole list step by step and see how at the different stages different things start happening at the chanting. And one time I did that in a lecture, and then someone was saying, yes, and who has these experiences, you know, like with a very depressed look on the face, when like, you know, but we don't have that, right? But I think we do. I think we're not sufficiently realizing how it works, right? It's not that, like, necessarily it means that in phase, in number two, that you start to see a picture of Krishna, you know? Here we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is the form of Krishna already coming in the picture, waiting for the slide, you know? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Ram Ram. And one day, bloop, there it is, you know, for a moment. Wow, yeah, I'm seeing it, you know, a picture of Krishna. Krishna. And then like, oh, gone again, and next time again. I think it's just more relating to the form of Krishna, relating to the person of Krishna. So, not just relating to the mantra, but really relating to Krishna. It says in the Adi Purana that chanting Hare Krishna means that we are associating with Krishna. It means that we are immediately with Krishna, personally. right? By chanting. So, if one chants being more aware that one is actually with Krishna right now, it becomes different, right? It's like, here I am associating with Krishna. So the whole mood of chanting becomes different. Instead of producing this word, right? And having to put, and of course it's transcendental, non-different from Krishna, but anyway, I don't experience it directly, it's all theoretically up there. It's a word, and I've got to fix my mind on that word, and it's very difficult to keep my mind on that word, because my mind wants to go everywhere and anywhere else. But let's just, instead of focusing the mind on that word, let us just associate with Krishna. Here he is, Hare Krishna, there he is. The Lord himself, yes. So, it's a different type of chanting, a different experience. And actually, we feel that this is, it is a more natural way of concentrating on the Holy Name. In the same way, the qualities of the Lord, it becomes... So, there is a metaphor of a little oil lamp which is burning, and well, as such an oil lamp is burning, one has to add oil, right? It burns up the oil, one has to add some oil every once in a while. So it is said that hearing is actually the oil of the lamp of chanting, right? It is very nice. And it is true that by regularly hearing about Krishna, more and more hearing about Krishna, we'll find that the quality of our chanting starts to improve, and that it becomes easier to relate to the Lord in terms of his on the second level of his form, or the third of his qualities. Right? These things, after hearing a lot about the Lord, we become more conscious in our chanting like that, and it deepens our chanting. It is, it becomes much different than just the repetition of that mantra, which, you know, is in itself not so easy to focus the mind on a mantra, as we know. Yeah. So, this is how attentive chanting actually is being taken to another level, yeah, and beyond the kind of mechanic level, beyond the level of sitting in a quiet place, sitting in a, and here the mood, of course, is also becoming more prominent. It is nice. Some people like to sit in front of the deity and actually chant like that, right? This is true. It is nice because it helps us to further get into the mood that we're associating with Krishna in his form. I cannot have too much other things going on at the same time. It just should just be like more the sound, but I do like to think of, here's, I'm associating now with the person, right, very much. Therefore, we must increase our hearing, right? Obviously, the offenses against the Holy Name are barring us from going much deeper, and will make it impossible to do that. Therefore, it is said, one must really be serious about taking out the anartas, the offenses against the Holy Name. I've sometimes mentioned the point that it's difficult to make the offenses. Many of the offenses we're making while we're not chanting. It is difficult to blaspheme a devotee while chanting. It's like you can try chant in a blaspheming way. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. But even the little laughs are necessary to add some effect, right? Otherwise, it's hard to do. So actually, when we don't chant, then we're blaspheming the devotees, right? As soon as we stop chanting. So chanting itself is very purifying and powerful. It is a good means to conquer our, to conquer the offenses. And a conscious effort must be made. Instead of just looking at the negative side, which is don't blaspheme people, don't blaspheme devotees, one can turn it around and instead say, like, well, what is the opposite, right? Oh, glorify them, all right. So let's turn the offenses around and just do the opposite and do the positive activity. Then automatically the negative one is conquered, but the meditation becomes a positive one instead of like, watch out, you know, that I'm not offensive, which sometimes is also oppressive. If the whole day you're in the mood from like, oh God, I'm making offenses again, I'm doing it again every step of the way. No, I'm just a boil, I'm offense personified, I'm just, it does get to the mind. So the positive approach is nice. It helps. Alright, so the list of five, it just goes on, but we can, it is said in that verse quoted at the beginning, Dena prakarena mano krishna nisevyet, sarva vidi nisevyeshu etayo eva kinkaram, that is the purpose of all rules and regulations, right? So all rules and regulations, sarva vidi nisevyeshu, all rules and regulations are meant for the cultivation of fixing the mind on Krishna and appreciating Krishna's qualities, his pastimes, his form, and all these things. And if we do, we can genuinely see how nice Krishna is. So, therefore, in tomorrow's session, I wanted to discuss a little bit on the qualities of Krishna, to kind of elaborate a little bit on that point, right? How the qualities of Krishna are indeed nice, and just to show a few times how nice Krishna really is. Just a few examples, how many. He has unlimited qualities. His niceness has no limits. He's unlimitedly nice. Therefore, how can we cover it all in a little seminar? That's going to take a little longer. We'll have to take this discussion up in the spiritual world, and there we can go deeper into the matter. So today, only a little, just barely scratching the surface, mentioning the principle. Maybe there are some reactions up to so far, some feedback. But I hope you find it nice, the idea of being more personal in the chanting. I myself find that very inspiring in my chanting, and I find that that's the way I can become a little more inspired to chant attentively. Otherwise, it's impossible. If it's me and just a mantra, my mind just doesn't want to do it, right? It's just like, then it's such a battle. And whereas another thing, one day I was reading how Haridas Thakur was chanting his 300,000 names every day, and that he did that in the spirit of an offering to Krishna. And when I read that, you know, sometimes when you're reading, it happens that one line just suddenly hits you, you know, it just stands out. You've read it so many times, but suddenly, bang. And that day, that line did it to me. And I was thinking, I never did that. I never chanted for the pleasure of Krishna. I just never did. I chanted. I was afraid of material life, that I got beaten around enough, and I was thinking, I gotta get out of this place. That's one reason I was chanting. I was also chanting because, I was a little curious about a mystical experience. I wouldn't mind, you know, like seeing Krishna or something else happen. So, like that, chanting for that reason. So different reasons for chanting, but actually never chanting really for the pleasure of Krishna, like an offering, you know, like every like a pujari who offers a plate with great attention and makes it up very nicely and places it before Krishna, not just plunks it on the table, you know, plunk, here's your plate, you know. So in other words, that automatically, if one was chanting like in the spirit of a pujari who offers, makes an offering, it automatically took care of quality. You didn't have to like separately think of like, how can I make quality? How can you offer Krishna half a mantra, or a mumbled mantra? So that was another way, a more devotional way, by which the quality improved. So I liked that, and I also kind of remember that regularly. That stayed with me since that time. Whenever regularly in my chanting, I'm remembering, don't forget now, you're doing it as an offering, right? Like a pujari, make it nice, right? Don't just... So like that, there are different techniques and different things. Here we have, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's notes, he was pointing out, he made a statement about Nam Abbas. And he was saying that, first of all, a devotee who gets the real name, that devotee, in his private conversation, always discusses with great faith the transcendental qualities of devotional service, free from all material desires, free from the desires for material knowledge, and the results of fruitive activities. And he can purchase the holy name. So, but then, where there is discussion of other desires, such as karma and jnana, there are only false notes. If one tries to give a false note in exchange for the name, he gets a counterfeit holy name, Nam Abbas, or the shadow of the name. Right? So it's interesting that he describes it like counterfeit money, like false notes. He said, this is how it works, that if we try to cheat and not actually pay the price of pure hearing and discussing Krishna Katha, then the name will just not manifest. And then we'll stay on that platform of Nam Abbas. So this is another point that will help us to increase our chanting. So there's a direct correlation between hearing and chanting and remembering. These three are described as the Bhagavad Vidhi. It is said in the ninefold process of devotional service, one can divide it up. One portion is dealing with the Bhagavad Vidhi, and the other portion is dealing with the Pancharatriki Vidhi. The difference being, the Bhagavad Vidhi is the spontaneous process coming from the heart. So that takes me to my next point, which is really like, why is Krishna attracted, attracted by the chanting of his name, and I should add something to the sentence, more than any other type of service? Why is it singled out? Why is the holy name the process, right? Why not any other type of devotional service? Why the holy name? So maybe you can, it's your turn to do some thinking and enlighten us on this. Why is the holy name attracting Krishna more than any other service? That is the question. Okay, nice. So? Yeah, but the Krishna is everywhere. He's omniscient. He's also here. And if you render any service, Krishna is also there in the form of his deity. The deity is none different from Krishna. So, you know, if you render service to the deity, it's also Krishna. So, but why does that make the holy name any better? No, go ahead. The microphone. Yes.
It is the Yuga Dharma, and it is said in the second verse of the Shikshastakam that Krishna has put his whole mercy and all his power in these three names of himself. And I think this may be a reason that he enjoys hearing these.
Okay. So does it mean that you can keep it for a second? Because I'm going to ask you. Does that mean that... in other yugas, it doesn't work, the holy name? That it is less potent? Would you think there's a difference between the chanting of the holy name in this Kali, in this Kali Yuga, and other yugas?
I would say yes.
Could you explain the difference?
Oh, it's a bit difficult. But you see, in Satya Yuga, it's the meditation, and it's absolutely not difficult for people sitting down for years and years and years and meditating on God and on Krishna.
Yes.
Then we have the sacrifices and the deity worship, and now we have the holy name. It is the easiest for the most difficult yoga.
But why don't they just chant Hare Krishna in the Satya Yuga?
They also chant Hare Krishna all the times.
Is it just as powerful in the Satya Yuga as it is in the Kali Yuga?
I'm not quite sure about the right answer.
Okay. I'm going to someone help me remind me of that. Remind me of that point that I have to answer that. Yes, anybody? Right behind you. Oh, he takes it there. Okay, go wherever you like. You'll get your turn. Don't give up. Okay, Avadhuta Rai.
Well, Krishna likes to be glorified, so
Krishna likes to be
attracted to chanting of holy name.
Does that make Krishna a person who's indulging in his own glories? Does it resemble something like vanity? You know, and it's like people. Is he like? I thought he was Atmaram. I thought he was self-satisfied and didn't need anyone else for his glorification. Here we consider that pretty low class when a person indulges in his own glorification. You're so great. Could you elaborate a little bit? How is it that Krishna?
When somebody chants with devotion, then he's attracted with that devotion.
So Krishna is...
God is great, but the devotion is greater than him.
So it's the devotion that he likes.
Yeah.
But then why single out again the holy name? Why not appreciate the devotion in anything? Right? If it's just the devotion, then if someone scrubs the floor with great devotion, that can be greater than the chanting of the holy name. Then why is the holy name so singled out as the specific item? You see? In my question. I'm getting myself more and more in trouble this way because I got I don't know if I'll be able to get out of this web that I'm weaving here.
I think this other Mataji has already mentioned, but I would like to add the verse, or actually I don't know the Sanskrit but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that in this age of Kali Yuga, the only way is to chant the holy name of the Lord, and that also three times.
Right.
So Lord Krishna himself says that this is the only way to chant his holy name.
Right.
Yeah,
so
somewhere we have to accept on authority. In other words,
you cannot keep on asking why, just like the bananas, you know, like the banana question at one point. You have to accept bananas are curved, and why are they? Because, right? Because they are. Like that kind of thing. Why is the holy name the most... Because an authority says so. Right? That's an argument. And this is a good point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says so. So your answer is good. But still, being like being obnoxious and stubborn and never satisfied in the mind, I still keep on asking. But why, actually? Why the chanting of the holy name? Although your answer is very good, But for those who cannot just be satisfied with a simple answer, on a more complicated one, I'm asking still, why? And he had his hand up here also. Wait for the mic. You're very ahead, your turn. First, new people.
I was thinking about what is written in the Krishna book. It is said that when Krishna was in Varaka, he meditated also on his own form. He looked himself in the mirror and meditated on himself.
Yeah.
And actually, the meaning is that Krishna is really the person on which is worthy to meditate on, because he's perfect, he has all opulences, he's not a relatively tiny jiva like us. So
right.
He himself meditates on himself, he is perfect.
Yeah.
So if we meditate on him, we get the real benefit.
Yes.
So what's the problem?
Can't I do that through deity worship? I'm a pujari. I mean, you know, I just don't have much taste for chanting, but I love deity worship. I really love it. But I hate, it's hard for me, you know, this repetitious thing. Can't I just worship the deity?
Because in Kali Yuga, chanting the holy name is the easiest process. We just have to.
But for me, it's so difficult.
But at least you can say the word. No? It's not so difficult.
Very difficult, Prabhu. I mean, really hard, you know. but deity worship is so easy, so natural, so nice. Excuse me, for.
May I also say
that? You may say, so you have the microphone.
Swami said that also in the other yuga, the holy name was potent in the same way. But in this yuga, we don't have to be qualified to chant. In the other yugas, there were other forms of devotional service to get on the level to chant the holy name.
Yeah.
In this age, because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the offenses are not considered.
Right.
So
correct.
We can chant all at once.
Okay, now you're getting there. Oh. What's one answer on the holy name? Katanshina smito yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet. That Lord Chaitanya makes difficult things easy, and even easy things are difficult without his mercy. So there's the added mercy of Lord Chaitanya in this yuga, which makes chanting different in this yuga than in any other yuga. Although the holy name is absolute and the same, but there's an added mercy of Lord Chaitanya in this yuga. So that's one part of the answer.
Swami said this.
Okay, that's part of the answer.
Okay.
Now Mother Lakshmi Moni had going to.
Listening to you above him, I was worried about even saying, but for all the other things, like deity worship, for instance, there are so many rules
yes.
that you have to follow.
Yes.
And although you may enjoy doing deity worship, you know, like we chant Om Mantra Hi Nam Kriya Hanam, we may make mistakes that we don't even know we're making.
She's breaking my heart.
but with the holy name, there's no hard and fast rules. So Lord Chaitanya has given not only made it easier, but he's made it that we can do it under any circumstances, anywhere, anytime, and we don't have
yes.
to do anything else.
Yes. Yes. Good answer. Okay. You want me to give a rebuttal now, huh? She's looking like, okay, come up with a rebuttal. Well, okay. That's true. That's very true. But at the same time, if one is actually, there are offenses against the holy name also, right? And we're seeing that if we make offenses against the holy name, that we can chant for a long, long time. And it is said that, like, if one commits the seventh offense against the holy name, right, then one can chant for millions of lives, right? Okay, what's the verse? We recite it many times before the ten offenses are coming. In Australia, they do it every time. Come on, you must know it. Anyway, sorry about that. Huh? Yeah, that one. My brain doesn't work, so. That you can chant for many, many births and still not get the result of all that chanting. So, what about that?
Well, actually, you can do any process of spiritual life, and if you're not sincere, I mean, if there's impurities in your heart, then you won't get the ultimate result. But with the chanting of the holy name, the process itself is the purification.
Mm-hmm.
So it may take a long time, but nevertheless, the chanting of the holy name itself is the means and the end. So if you keep chanting, just keep chanting, then that chanting will purify the impurities.
And would you say that deity worship, it's not like that? I mean, isn't like you make tambula for the Lord here and you make tambula for the Lord there, you offer arti to the Lord here, and in the spiritual world you're offering arti to the Lord. I mean, isn't that also very direct?
I'd have to get into
okay.
But I think if you do deity worship, because we don't have Lord Chaitanya's mercy for that particular seva, then if offenses are being committed, the offenses eventually will cause us to stop doing that worship.
Yeah, I'm quite satisfied. Thank you very much. Just arguing for argument's sake is also no good. Just raise your hand again. Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya says you just have to chant the holy name of the Lord once and you can achieve ultimate, you know, spiritual realm. But he doesn't say that about deity worshipping. You offer me this and you'll achieve. So he gives that special potency to chanting. And also Krishna doesn't like to hear his name out of vanity, but because he knows it's helping us. And through that, because it's helping us, he likes to hear his name being called because he knows we're surrendering and we're asking him for his help.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm.
I'd say.
Okay. Your Prabhupada does say somewhere that Krishna also likes to hear his own name, you know, like spoken with affection. He says, like, everyone likes that, you know. Is it because Prabhupada said Krishna? It's in the 10th canto. Prabhupada says that there's a similarity in the psychology of Krishna and our psychology, us being parts and parcels of Krishna. So we can recognize it in ourselves, you know. I mean, we like it not just out of vanity, but everyone wants to be, likes some appreciation. Krishna also likes appreciation. So it's not like on the vanity, but there is also a sense of appreciation. But true, you brought out the point of mercy, which is very nice. Thank you for that, because it's very good. Krishna wants to be kind and wants to make himself and wants to give himself, right? And his name is a way that he can give himself. Okay, now you have the mic, so you can speak.
I was also thinking of the same arguments as Mother Lakshmi Moni used and the other Mataji.
Yeah.
But I like to add some point with that. And that is that Lord Chaitanya, he empowered the holy name. He gave the highest benefit to the lowest of the people. So probably it was not available to attain that stage of love of Godhead by the other processes. Then there's another thing I like to mention, and that in the holy name is not only a mentioning of Krishna's name in the Maha Mantra, but there's also Radharani's name.
Yeah.
So Krishna must be somewhat attracted to Radharani also. So it's our mood in which we address Radharani to please engage us in the devotional service.
Uh-huh.
So we also address our own constitutional position, and how can I explain this? Or how? It's not that we only approach Krishna by his name, but we try to do it by the help of Radharani, I would say. And Krishna is mostly attracted by Radharani. So with Radharani's help, it must be possible.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, it is true that Srimati Radharani is very soft-hearted, right, and therefore more quickly inclined to the conditioned souls than Krishna. And that's the interesting part when Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya, because then he becomes, when he takes the mood of Srimati Radharani, that's what it means. He gets the soft-hearted mood of Srimati Radharani. So therefore Lord Chaitanya is more soft-hearted, in a more soft-hearted mood than Krishna. He's very soft-hearted at that point. So that is very interesting. As we're talking more about Lord Chaitanya, I have here a little list about, you know, that I made. Why is Lord Chaitanya's mercy the greatest? So I made some points. I'll just read them out, you know, because it's related. One is to, he makes the topmost love of God widely available, right? Not to a few, but he makes it widely available. That is the first. He offers the easiest process and makes it easier by his personal help. Three. He teaches by example, by himself, becoming a devotee. And four, the Yuga Dharma, Sankirtan, can be performed by anyone, anytime, in any place. It requires less qualification than the process for other yugas. I mean, most of you have already mentioned these things in the discussion, but I'm just going over the list to make it like a little list. Five, it is mentioned that other incarnations killed opponents. Lord Chaitanya delivered them. Six, he doesn't consider offenses, and he especially delivers the most fallen. Right? So like that, he's because of his soft-hearted nature, he's especially inclined towards the most fallen. It is said that still more merciful is than Lord Chaitanya is Lord Nityananda. Right? So I wrote a few things on that also. He is intoxicated with love of God, and therefore he doesn't discriminate to who he gives the mercy at all. He's drunk, he cannot see who is fallen, who is not. He just gives to anyone and everyone. He stopped Lord Chaitanya from killing Jagai Madai. He is the Adi Guru, the first servant. We must follow in his footsteps and follow that example of service. And particularly his first service, he was sent by Lord Chaitanya door to door, right? To knock on every door. He was sent from Jagannath Puri back to Bengal to go and preach and knock on every door. So he's the original Sankirtan devotee. Because he serves the Lord in many other ways too. He's his bed, he's his, even in the instruments that we are using in Kirtan, he is that, he is his plate, all utensils. He's Balaram, who is the giver of spiritual strength, right? So without, like it is said in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, that Achyuta, or Krishna, gives transcendental knowledge. He gives the sword of knowledge. And with that sword of knowledge, we have to cut the karma granti, the knot of karma within the heart. But that's painful, right? And who can lift up the sword of knowledge? So it says by the mercy of Balaram, we can get the strength to lift up the sword of knowledge, and then we can cut. So we need that mercy of Lord Nityananda also. Balaram also. So in other words, we must very much take shelter of the service attitude of Lord Balaram or Lord Nityananda also. Yes, it is explained that deity worship is in the initial stages performed in the Pancharatriki Vidhi. It is counted as Pancharatriki. So Pancharatriki means that the prescribed rules and regulations count, right? So what we do in deity worship is from the moment before we get in the altar, we must take the bath and the right cloth, then pure purify the body in the right way with particular mantras and zips of water and here and there. And then on the altar, you know, we are supposed to move around in a prescribed way. You don't go for a stroll on the altar, you know. On the altar, we have deliberate movements, right? We are, you know, we go there for a purpose. We don't just, you can't just say like, well, I'll go sit on the altar for a while. You know, I'm pujari. It's like, you know, I'm just, I'm going to do a little parikrama and walk around the deities three times on the altar, right? That's kind of stuff is bogus, right? It's not allowed, you know, that's concoction, that's speculation. Every move is prescribed, and one kind of goes entirely into that prescribed role, and that has a purifying effect. So therefore it is said, the pancharatriki vidi is like an external way to purify us, right? We put ourselves in a prescribed external behavior, and that has an effect on purifying us internally. Then the chanting is the process which is immediately going straight to the heart, right? It is immediately internal, because immediately in the heart we begin to make the connection with Krishna. Krishna is his name. It is happening more and more that the connection with Krishna in the heart is growing, and it's growing very quickly because it's really happening there. So the Bhagavad Vidhi in particular is focusing on that, on the connection with Krishna in the heart. Then sometimes it is said that, like, well, once you come to the liberated platform, then it doesn't matter anymore, right? Then all service is equal, right? On the liberated platform, in the spiritual world, you cannot say that chanting is any higher than any of the other services. All services are the highest, right? Whatever it may be, right? But chanting is always there, also in the spiritual world. We see a description that when Srimati Radharani was churning the milk, that she was chanting the name of Krishna spontaneously. It is sometimes, the question is raised that, the verse that we quoted was, we should always remember Krishna. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam najatasit sarvavidhi nisedisho eti or evakin karam. So the purpose of all rules and all practices is to always remember Krishna. So isn't that higher then? So they say, isn't smaranam higher than kirtanam? Right? Isn't like kirtanam what you get, but in the end you just get like smaranam, remembrance of Krishna. So isn't that the ultimate? So the answer is a simple answer, but a nice answer, that from kirtanam comes smaranam, and from smaranam comes kirtanam. Right? You cannot, if you remember Krishna, you'll automatically chant his name. And if you chant his name, you'll automatically remember Krishna. So it's a very artificial question that can only be asked by one who's not remembering Krishna. Because one who does remember Krishna will automatically chant Krishna's name and remember Krishna at the same time. These two are coming together. Yeah. So, God, I used up all my time on the holy name. I had more intentions today, but I'll do that tomorrow, because I was hoping to also speak about another heavy topic, right? The Guru, Sri Guru. Guru is described as being heavy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he's heavy, right, because he never moves from his position. He stays in his position. Right? You can't move him from his position. Because he's fixed on the absolute platform. So that's why he's heavy, actually. I liked that very much. I thought it was very enlivening. That this is what the heaviness means. He is not just heavy, you know. Although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also gives a description of how he can be heavy like that. Because there's this thing where it is said that it is as if the guru stands there with a raised knife to cut out the hidden impurities out of the heart of his disciple as the sacrificial goat is being slaughtered on the altar. He does also describe that point. But, so that's another aspect of the heaviness, without a doubt. But the real purport to the heaviness, more heavy than even that sacrificial knife, is that the guru is absolute, and therefore not wavering, not moving, not changing his position, but remaining fixed, right? And therefore has the answer to all questions.
I had kind of thought that maybe I wouldn't be able to really deal with both topics in one day. So I had created room for spillover tomorrow. So we'll do it like that. We'll let it all, we'll just go more into the guru-disciple relationship tomorrow. Because tomorrow, anyway, I wanted to speak about Krishna and about the pure devotee and about how in the pure devotee also the qualities of Krishna are manifesting, right? It is very interesting to see. And we also see, like, you see with Prabhupada, that just like with Krishna, just being with Prabhupada made the most common occasion special just by being there, right? By being present, it became like an event, right? Because he was there. And whatever he did was an event. Yes, I wrote down here on day 4, I give you a little preview, that once Prabhupada's secretary made the statement after Prabhupada had been meeting with some devotees' parents, then the secretary said that, "Prabhupada, everybody likes you so much." And he replied, "Yes, because I like everybody." Right? And that was very nice, right? And that really made Prabhupada all attractive, just like Krishna, just like the six Goswamis, Dira, Dira, Priya, Karujan, like that, who were dear to both gentle and ruffians. So the devotee also gets something of the all attractiveness of Krishna. So we see how the qualities of Krishna are also manifesting in a devotee. Yeah, that's very nice. So tomorrow, what I wanted to discuss about the relationship of guru and disciple is the theme of how to make it meaningful, how to make the relationship between guru and disciple meaningful, because both desire that relationship to be meaningful. A spiritual master, when he accepts a disciple, wants it to be meaningful, wants the disciple to really, like, go through a transformation. And the disciple is just really, like, you know, hoping that everything is gonna happen now, right? Now I've got a spiritual master, and from this day on, you know, a disciple has so many hopes. So like that, we are, wanted tomorrow, especially on the, get into that theme, right? Because I felt that that's like, that's in one sense the pivot, right, of the relationship, like how to make it meaningful. I think it's a burning issue for all of us. So I'll stop with that today. Did we get all the prayers back from everyone? Or some still have a paper with prayers somewhere hidden? No? Half, huh? Only half. Okay. So anyone who still wants to turn in a prayer can do that. Then we have more. I have a questionnaire. I already announced it yesterday, but I wasn't able to take action. See? And see, I'm a lot better today. Huh? Do I look better? I think so. I was even arguing. I mean, that's a good sign. So I have a little questionnaire that we, Bhaktamet will hand it out. Here's some. I'll dig up some more. Again, if you don't want to fill out your name on the questionnaire, NN will do. No Meneskio, because some people may find it too personal. But then again, in our movement, we see that devotees are sharing many things, and that's actually nice. By sharing our own personal experiences, it becomes real, right? And if we just talk about the process without sharing personal experiences, then it's theoretical. But if we actually try to, you don't have to fill it out now. You can fill it out later on as homework and bring it back here tomorrow, if possible. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.